The Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Welcome, I'm Major Mike Gary, and this is a whistleblower report, and it's going to be another military segment. Today, I'm going to be discussing some of the recent revelations around the nanotechnology that has been exposed in a recent peer-reviewed journal. That journal came out on 18 July of 2024. I think a lot of people missed it because of the Trump assassination attempt, so it kept buried in news. But this is the first peer-reviewed journal about the proposed nanotechnology that's in the COVID gene therapy products, also known as COVID vaccines. So anyway, we're going to discuss that. I want to thank all the Truth for Health Foundation donors. We thank you very much for your legal support, the funds that you've given to support all these legal recipients that the Truth for Health has stood up in a time where nobody else would, and provided legal support for especially the military, doctors, nurses, EMS, and other fields that needed it in the early days of COVID. And now moving forward, we're looking to continue to be the tip of the spear in whatever is needed to save this nation and bring this nation back to its once former glory. I just want to say for everybody out there listening that I'm on today representing myself, my own opinions. I do not represent the military in any way during this podcast or the DOD. I am speaking from my own personal experiences on my own research. And of course, the military had poured, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars into the training that I've received over the years. So as a lot of you may know, that I'm a CBRN officer, CBRN, chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons expert as it relates to hazardous material response. I got 26 years in the military total and at least 15 years dealing with CBRN threats. So, my expertise is dealing with responses to chemical, biological, radiological weapons. So anyway, that's why COVID is near and dear to my heart, and actually solving this and having accountability is a big deal to me in this. And then looking at this study here that came out, I just want to read the title here. It says, real-time self-assembly of stereo, microscopically visible artificial constructions and incubated specimens of mRNA products, mainly from Pfizer and Moderna. a comprehensive longitudinal study. Okay, so this was performed by Young Mai Lee, MD, and Daniel Browdy, PhD. Young Lee is a practicing physician with a specialty in obstetrics and gynecology. And then Daniel Browdy, PhD, is a professor of applied linguistics, Okinawa Christian University. And the abstract here, I'll just read a few lines so it kind of greases the skids where we're going to go in this program. It's systematic analysis of observable real-time injuries at the cellular level in recipients of the safe and effective COVID-19 injectables are published here in a peer-reviewed context for the first time. The global administration of these often mandated products from late 2020 triggered a plethora of independent research studies of the modified RNA injectable gene therapies, most notably those manufactured by Pfizer and Moderna. The contents of these COVID-19 injectables were examined under a stereo microscope at up to 400 times magnification. Carefully preserved specimens were cultured in a range of distinct media to observe immediate and long-term cause and effect relationships between the injectables and living cells under carefully controlled conditions. Okay, so that gives you kind of a heads up of where we're going to go in this program. But one other thing I want to relate, why this is so near and dear to me, is the nation had to have a response force for chemical and biological threats on the homeland, right? And the team, the National Guard hazmat team that I work for, the specialty for seaburn threats, was that response. And certainly the gain-of-function COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2 fit that, right? And we totally did not respond in a proper way. We responded to what they wanted to believe was a novel coronavirus, right? That came out of nature, and that's not what it was. It came out of a lab, therefore being a biological agent per our laws, and weaponized. So gain of function, it was weaponized to be a biological weapon. So technically, the unit I was a part of should have responded to it properly, and then naturally all the other government follow-on forces, which I have worked for some of those other forces or run those teams before, should have responded in kind. And that's not what happened with this, all right? And it was well known as we fielded these injectables, these COVID-19 injectables, that there was strange phenomenon that occurred. And that one of the first phenomenon, besides basic injuries, like Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré, myocarditis, and some of these things that started to manifest, people passing out immediately or having to be have CPR immediately after getting these injectables. Besides that, and besides missing work for a week, a day or two, a week, 2 weeks in some cases, the strange phenomenon that I first picked up on was the menstruation issues, because it hit my wife and daughter. They are not vaccinated with COVID-19. However, at Easter dinner of April of 2021, we were around recently injected grandparents, and there seemed to be a transmission or a shedding effect off the grandparents, and it showed up in the menstruation of, particularly my daughter was nailed with it, and it was extreme, and I mean pain, and extreme in other ways. So what I did immediately is, with our naturopath, I had a blood test run, and took a vial of blood, sent it away, came back positive for the spike protein. So right then, that was confirmation that there was strange things going on. One of the next phenomenon I became aware of was the magnetism on certain people's injection sites. So I put that to the test and discovered somebody's injection site was magnetic. And of course that got me my first negative counseling my military career. They tried to say I forced the guy to do this experiment, which was not true. He totally consented because I asked several times, and when it stuck, it was awkward for both of us. And then I immediately told my chain of command, we should do something about this because there's something in these vials that they haven't let us know. And instead, I got punished. So that was another phenomenon I was aware of. Of course, the glowing, the electromagnetic signals that some people were giving off. I tried to confirm that. That was very hard because there's so much background EMF in buildings, particularly military buildings and buildings that run a lot of communications lines or electrical power. It's really hard to confirm that. So I didn't get anywhere with that. And then the glowing, wasn't able to confirm that, like the vials glowing with that luciferase ingredient, I wasn't able to confirm those things. And at that point, I was pretty much shunned and ostracized, and people were looking to punish me. So anyway, those phenomenon I was very aware of. And then one that I'm currently working on is the fact that people seem to be giving off MAC addresses. Now, 2.5 years ago, I was starting to get to chase that down. And of course, where I have lost my full-time military career, I kind of ended that because it didn't seem like anybody cared. But recently, I've been inspired to check into that. So later on in the program, I'll discuss that a little more. But I found it interesting at the debate between Kamala Harris and President Trump that Kamala Harris actually admitted to the origin of COVID-19 being the Wuhan lab, which just totally surprised me. And what I want to do is, this is admission that COVID-19 came from the Wuhan lab, and which is the beginning of this whole thing, right? I mean, I know there's probably some other labs involved, okay? I'm not saying that. But this is kind of a start point for everybody in this, and everybody that wants accountability, it goes back to Wuhan. That is a center of an agreement that we can all agree on, especially now that the government, through the Vice President Kamala Harris, has admitted the origin of COVID-19 is the Wuhan lab. So take a listen here.
But what Donald Trump did, let's talk about this, with COVID, is he actually thanked President Xi for what he did during COVID. Look at his tweet. Thank you, President Xi, exclamation point, when we know that Xi was responsible for lacking and not giving us transparency about the origins of COVID.
President Trump elect.
Okay, so you heard that. That's pretty much admission to the origin of COVID-19 was from Wuhan. That's pretty big deal. So out of the whole, debate, this is huge. I can't believe that they made this admission that they essentially, the Biden administration is admitting by way of, Vice President Kamala Harris that the Wuhan lab is the origin of COVID-19, or China's to blame for the origin. That's how that is received by me. I can't believe it. That's, in a way, that's debate over. You know what I'm saying? That right there is huge. Then so also makes me concerned that they will try to turn this around and blame Trump for all this. So that is something we got to watch for. President Trump did not mandate or coerce anybody into the gene therapy products. And I just want to be clear about that. I knew I stood a chance inside the military if he stayed president, but as soon as the new administration came on, it was full court press to get any next mandate in COVID was going to be forced. And it just so happened to be the gene therapy products. Okay? So that's, I want to make that abundantly clear because I'm an insider in the military and that's what I experienced. People could not go on leave unless they got their shots. And that was before the mandate in August of 2021. So it's highly corrupt what was going on there. Now, something I want to bring relevance to is Dr. Francis Boyle. A lot of people kind of forget him or don't know him. Even a lot of the medical freedom doctors fail to mention who he is. And he came out early on, like January of 2020. I caught on to him. And so Francis Boyle, Francis A. Boyle is a leading American professor, practitioner, and advocate of international law. He was responsible for drafting the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, which is called the BWATA, B-W-A-T-A, the American Implementing Legislation for the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention. His Biological Weapons Act was passed unanimously by both houses of the United States Congress and signed into law by President George Bush Sr. Okay, so he wrote the dang law for us. Okay, and I just want to point out a couple things in his book called Resisting Medical Tyranny. Okay, and if you want to be knowledgeable in everything COVID, you should get that, Resisting Medical Tyranny. You're going to find all his early COVID-19 interviews in this book. He also wrote Biowarfare and Terrorism. These two books are like bookends. They complement each other. He wrote Biowarfare and Terrorism back in 2005, I believe. There's a credible amount of knowledge in these two books. But in his current one, Resisting Medical Tyranny, he says this. This is something else that's greatly overlooked, but I haven't missed it, okay? He says, we also know that one of the cooperating institutions to Wuhan BSL-4 was my triple alma mater, Harvard. Okay, so Harvard. And that the chairman of the Harvard Chemistry Department was Dr. Charles Lieber. We can't forget about this. A specialist in nanotechnology set up an entire laboratory in Wuhan where, according to reports, he specialized in applying nanotechnology to chemistry and biology. Harvard is also listed as a cooperative research institution at the Wuhan BSL-4, in China's, which is China's fourth district. Okay, so we can't lose sight of that. That's incredibly important because I believe this man plays a role in the nanotech that's in the gene therapy products, okay? And he also worked with Ralph Baric, who's the guy that made, you know, the genetically modified spike protein. So these things work hand in hand. Also, if you look up Dr. Charles Lieber, it's really weird. Right around, you know, January to March of 2020, the FBI was arresting Charles Lieber, okay? Now, what I believe is that was a cover-up operation to kind of, you know, take him out of circulation from the population. And it was actually kind of like a witness protection thing as opposed to penalizing him for anything. So that's my belief on that. That's an opinion, okay? Because hardly anybody knows about this Charles Lieber. And he's a key player here. Okay. Also in Francis Boyle's book, later on when he's doing one of these interviews by an African-American host in Chicago. The host says this. So let me ask you, I'm Bill Gates. On the subject of him, I read that basically he's got investments in six different vaccines, six different companies at least, and there is a patent on one affiliated with him that has a very interesting patent number, apparently 0606066666, right? And then also there's a technology and a patent technology that is light-based that's supposed to be able to detect whether or not you have taken the vaccine remotely, called Luciferase, right? So he says, we're already set to go with regard to what you need to know about the vaccine and blah, blah, blah. Can you speak a little bit to Bill Gates and his reputation around the world with vaccinations? And then Francis Boyle says, Gates has said he's a eugenicist, okay? He wants to see fewer people in the world, you know? Again, it's like the Nazi. But for our case here, again, we're dealing with two vaccines. I call them Frankenshots, but one by Pfizer and the other by Moderna. Now, the Pfizer vaccine was co-developed by BioNTech. It's called the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, but it's the same DARPA technology as Moderna. Well, the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine Guess who has paid for BioNTech? Bill Gates. This is one of his vaccines for sure. Okay. So anyway, look into Francis Boyle. He's incredibly interesting. And so with this, I opened kind of telling you that I was checking into these weird phenomena. I kind of ended that as I lost my job and I stopped doing that. And it seemed like the American people mostly didn't care. So with that, I kind of ended my experimentation until I was recently inspired by this peer-reviewed journal. And I caught one of the videos that explained how to look up the emitting frequencies from so-called vaccinated people, people that got these gene therapies. Okay, so I'm going to play about 2 minutes of this clip from this Odyssey clip from this guy that's telling you how to use your Android phone to detect these MAC addresses. So listen here.
Yo, what's up, everybody? I hope you're having fun tracking whatever you want to call them, the devices walking around. It's really messed up, isn't it? It's really good to wake people up though. We were kind of right about what's going on. But anyway, iPhone doesn't do it. So I'm going to teach you how to do it. iPhone doesn't do it. We can't figure out how to unlock iPhone. So phone. Android seems to be able to do it. Some of them, you can just do it. But some of them, you got to unlock it. So if you have an Android, go to, see if you can see this. Oh, look at the little Jasmine. All right, well, you go to settings. And you scroll down to about phone. And then you scroll to an option called build number. You click it, and it says no need, you are already a developer. So you want to change into a developer on your phone. So I think you click it 7 times. Once you click it 7 times, then you'll unlock developer options. So you go back, and it's in different spots on different phones. You can just search for developer. On this one, it's in system advanced and developer options, right? That's what we just opened. And then you scroll down to the option of show Bluetooth devices without names, right? Because the MAC addresses that are coming off the bodies don't have names, so that's how they hide it. So unlock this, show Bluetooth devices without names, Bluetooth device without names, MAC addresses only will be displayed, and then you can start tracking people. Insane. I can't believe it. You mess people up so much because you can walk down the street. I do it to my cab drivers all the time. We'll be driving back to Boca and I'll whip it out, Bluetooth them. I'll be, hey, how was your COVID-19 shot? Oh, yeah, pretty good, yeah. I got 2 of them. Go get my booster tomorrow. I'll be like, yeah. But they don't think. They're like, how did I know? Think, bro. How did I know you had a COVID shot? It really messes with them. And they show them the MAC number and everything. And you can mess around with them because, especially if you've got 3 people, you can make 3 of them stand there with you. All 3 of them show the MAC addresses. And you get 1 of them to walk away. You can pick them up about 60 feet away. So it's pretty powerful. And then you get 1 to walk away, and that MAC address it disappears. And then they come back, and it reappears. And, you know, get them to turn all their phones off and do it again. Some of them just hate me for it, especially like the older crowd, you know, the ones that have been brainwashed for decades, that they'll be like, they'll freak out at me, but oh, it's fine, but I'm still protected from the virus. I'm like, you mean the virus is 99.97% survival? Yeah. I'm like, well, you're being tracked now with some kind of device, and yeah, it's good. They're really in denial now. It's going to be amazing. You can't deny it for very much longer. You can hide, you can close your ears and close your eyes, and no, we weren't lying to you. The government would never lie to us. Yes, they do. Government means mind control.
Okay, so you heard him explain how to detect, use your Android phone, can't use an iPhone, to actually detect all these weird MAC addresses. Okay, that people are supposedly giving off. Okay, MAC address. This has nothing to do with Apple or Mac, right? MAC stands for Medium Access Control Address. It's a unique identifier assigned to a network interface controller, which NIC, for use as a network address and communications within a network segment. This use is common in most IEEE 802 networking technologies, including Ethernet, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. Okay, so in this case, we're talking about Bluetooth MAC addresses that are being sent out within the Open Systems Interconnection (OSI) network model. There's a lot of tech jargon going on here. All right. And so you hear the COMO, which I call COMO guys, communication guys in the military. So the MAC addresses are used in the medium access control protocol sublayer of the data link layer. As typically represented, MAC addresses are recognizable as six groups of two hexadecimal digits. Again, hex six, right? And of course, the Book of Revelation reminds us to be wary of the mark of the beast, the 666, right? So these MAC addresses come in hexadecimal, you know, six groups of two, separated by hyphens, colons, or without a separator. MAC addresses are primarily assigned by device manufacturers and are therefore often referred to as the burned-in address, or as an Ethernet hardware address, or physical address. Each address can be stored in an interface hardware, such as its read-only memory, or by a firmware mechanism, okay? And so when you use your Android phone in this manner, or you can also go to the App Store and get apps that track down these Bluetooth MAC addresses, okay? So you probably could use other phones by downloading an app to find Bluetooth signals being given off. So anyway, when you see this, these MAC addresses apply to no manufacturer. So they just come up the hexadecimal digits, right? And there's no describing of what they are, like a headset, a microphone, a phone, a tablet. You know, usually those actually come up with a description next to them. These don't. They just come up with the hexadecimal number. So that makes this very concerning. All right. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this in a little more detail. And I'm going to play to you Dr. John Campbell talking about this study, this peer-reviewed study that was done. So we'll be back right after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
Welcome back to the second half of the show, the Whistleblower Report, and this is a military segment for the Truth for Health Foundation. On the first half of the program, we got to talking about MAC addresses and the fact that people that were vaccinated are actually, and when I say vaccinated, they have the experimental gene therapy products. We were discussing the fact that they seem to be putting off MAC addresses, and we discussed that at the end of the first half. And I'll just let you know that as somebody that's been a hazmat responder and used many devices, naturally, watching that video clip inspired me to check it out. And at this point, with two different Android phones, I have checked into this, and it seems to be valid. I'm not 100% on that because there's a few things I have to narrow out. For example, there's a lot of devices giving Bluetooth signals off, and trying to decipher what device is what is usually pretty easy because the phone will pretty much identify a headset, a tablet, another phone, or Bluetooth in the vehicle, and these ones seem to come up straight hexadecimal MAC address. However, there is MAC products or Apple products that seem to come up with randomizing MAC addresses that look the same. And it's hard to decipher if I'm picking up people or that. So I'm not 100% on this. I got to do a little more studying into this to actually make sure. But the best way to actually put this to practice is to, if they're willing, if somebody's willing and they have had the experimental injection, is to actually take them to a rural area and separate them from all their Bluetooth devices and check this out. I have not done this yet. However, I've done many other experiments, like, for example, walk down a rural country road, and I will pick up the cars as they pass by. And when I say the cars, I mean most likely the driver, and it's them admitting the address. Another thing is to walk down the road and walk by neighbors' houses. Generally, within 60 to 100 feet, you can pick up these Bluetooth signals coming from people. So that's what I've experimented with so far. And obviously, this would be nanotech, and that's why I opened this show with the fact that we actually have a peer-reviewed study out talking about the self-assembly of this nanotech that seems to be coming from the injections. So this is what I wanted to kind of link up with everybody. Also, on the medical freedom fighter side of this, most people on that freedom fighter side don't want to accept that there's nanotechnology in these injections. They only want to talk about the spike protein, which, from my line of work, to bring it back to where I come from and the team that I used to work for. I worked for a team of 22 highly trained individuals, specified whether it was in the science, the medical, or the surveying part of a C-burn response, chem, bio, rad, nuclear response. We had to go through a decision-making process to narrow out whatever the threat was, whether it was a chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear threat. So there was a whole decision-making or troubleshooting process that we went to. And, of course, signs and symptoms played a very key role. So did precursors. If we went downrange, and when I say downrange, I mean into the hot zone where we actually wore level A, which is the highest level of protection. These are the fully encapsulated suits. You know, we would actually go downrange. We would use a decision-making process to figure out what the threat is. And then, obviously, the devices we had, you know, the monitoring devices, when we would go downrange into a hot zone, we would have upwards of about 20 different devices, so much so we would take a cart with us to help carry all the gear so we could figure out what was going on downrange. And then sometimes there would be second entries into the hot zone if we didn't have the right gear or we needed to run further presumptive tests in the hot zone, okay? So using things like magnets, using things like EMF detectors, using, a device to pick up Bluetooth signals is not out of the norm. Trying to find sneaky or hidden things is the business or the line of work I was in. And specifically, I was in the actual problem-solving piece of this, which I had my operators, and we would, you know, we would, as the guys went downrange into the hot zone, the survey guys, they would go into the hot zone, and we would start learning information of from the either the devices or the precursors they saw, the pictures they took, whatever they were bringing back for information. And again, the information came from many different angles, depending on the cameras, the video cameras, you know, stills and live feed. And then, of course, the devices, some of the devices would digitally send back information to us. So all this stuff, I was a part of the decision-making process of what the actual threat was. So as our service members are in the hot zone, we'd actually be trying to figure out what made people sick, why were we called to that scene. Usually we had a pretty good idea because you had a bunch of people that were either, poisoned with whatever was in the air. For example, a tick or TIM, toxic industrial chemical, toxic industrial material. You know, that would make people sick in a certain way and they'd give off certain signs and symptoms. So, but before we would even get to the scene, sometimes we would know what we were dealing with, right? So anyway, what I'm trying to say here is, I was in the line of work of dealing with threats that you could not perceive with the normal senses. So using a phone to detect Bluetooth signals is not out of the ordinary for me, okay? So it's just another piece of information that has to be solved. And then going back to people from the, you know, the health freedom, medical health freedom fight, I don't think we've actually closed any doors to what the problem is here with COVID-19, okay? We haven't narrowed it down because we've had a government that doesn't want to solve this issue. And then all of us have different expertise and skills. Like, I used to have different sections that would interpret the results or the readings from that equipment. So I was at the center of the problem solving. And when I look at COVID-19, yes, I believe there is a genetically modified pathogenic toxic protein called the spike protein, but there also could be nanotechnology involved here. And we haven't excluded any of these things. In fact, we see the possibility that there's multiple things that made people sick and still hurting people to this day. So until we actually have a commission that wants to get to the center of truth, we can't narrow anything out. And then this study here is key because finally there's a peer-reviewed that is talking about the nanotechnology that was in these shots. Now, I know some are saying there is no toxic spike protein, there's only nanotech. So I don't know. I can't say one way or the other because we know that there was a variance in all the different lots and the makers out there. So we haven't really narrowed anything out yet, and that's the problem with this. I worked for a team that was specified in solving tough problems like this. I mean, the government paid, for National Guard hazmat response teams to help solve difficult problems like this, and we weren't used in this manner. Okay. So anyway, I just kind of want to convey that. That's why I find this so interesting. And I want to play for you Dr. John Campbell, who has done a lot of YouTube video clips on COVID-19 over the years. I've caught a lot of his stuff. He seemed to be kind of in where I'm coming from, late in the game. That's probably not true for most of his audience. He probably woke a lot of people up when he came in, but I've been at this since, before the lockdowns even occurred, because I was, this could have been a response for my team. So I made my, I dug into it and got all the knowledge I could to, be prepared for a possible response to this COVID-19. And obviously it didn't go down that way, because we didn't respond to what a biological weapon or a technical weapon. We called it a novel virus, and we just shut the world down. And all these, professionals like the team I work for weren't allowed to function or respond. So let's listen to John Campbell and see what he has to say about this study.
A warm welcome to this talk. It's Friday the 6th of September. Now, I've heard about this phenomena years ago, of course, but only just got some evidence to support it, so we can only just report on it now. This is from peer-reviewed literature, and it's scientists based in Japan and South Korea. And what they've done is they've taken COVID vaccines, mostly Pfizer and Moderna, and cultured them, incubated them, to try and duplicate the conditions in the human body, and they've found nanostructures have developed. Now, I don't expect you're going to watch this video or be allowed to watch this video, but I'm going to do it anyway. And if by some chance a few of you actually get to see it, then that's brilliant. Now, here's the equipment that was actually used here. It's stereo microscopes. Now, basically all this means is you're looking at it in the two eyes, therefore you get stereoscopic vision. And what happened was that initially they developed two-dimensional nanostructures, and then some became three-dimensional as well. And of course, you can see that with a stereoscopic microscope. Let's go and look at some now. That was the equipment that they were using. And of course, these days, you don't so much look down the microscope. It all goes on a screen, so you can take copies of it. Now, these are from the publication. These are some of the nanostructures that were observed in, as I've said before, conditions that were designed to duplicate human cells in the human body that developed from the COVID vaccines, the mRNA vaccines. Now, the scale here, I'll just show you a couple of pictures, then we'll look at the scale. So these are the sort of structures that they were finding. I mean, what the heck is that? That is a structure that spontaneously sort of put itself together, a spontaneous assembly of this structure from the COVID vaccine cultures. Now, the scale here, 10 micrometers. So that's so one micrometer would be the size of a sort of a bacterial cell. 7 micrometers would be the size of a red blood cell. So you can see these are nanostructures, but this is a very detailed looking structure that has spontaneously assembled itself here. Look at it. that spontaneously assembled itself. What the heck is it? Of course, as always, we don't have, I won't be giving full answers to these questions. Read the paper for yourself. But this means the presence of these nanostructures needs to be explained by the manufacturers and by international authorizing agencies and national authorizing agencies round the world. This is a peer-reviewed publication, and I believe it gives questions to be answered. Even if it's only that this is a load of rubbish, then that still needs to be answered. Let's look at a couple more pictures before we look at the text. So these spiral ones seem to come up again spontaneously, just put themselves together. Spontaneous sort of another spiral there. Another one there. Tell you what, I don't like the idea of these spontaneously forming in the cells of my body, if that is indeed the case. We don't know that, but if that's the case, I don't like the idea of it at all. Not at all. And 10 micrometers, that's actually pretty big, actually. If that's the scale there, 10 micrometers. So this whole thing is actually quite large, relatively speaking. And what is that? Spontaneously formed structure. Well, that one. Anyway, lots more examples in the paper. Do look at it for yourself and check it out. The paper is there and the pictures are all there. Now, as I say, I don't think many people are going to be able to watch this video because I'm not optimistic about getting a wide distribution, shall we say. But never mind, we're going to do it anyway. So real-time, self-assembly, these things are bolting themselves together, as it were, of stereo microscopically visible, so you can see them through the stereo microscope. Specimens of mRNA products, mainly from Pfizer and Moderna, a comprehensive longitudinal study. So constructions in incubated specimens of mRNA products is what these workers did. And our observations suggest the presence of some kind of nanotechnology in the COVID injectables. Now, I know this sounds pretty interesting material, and I'm being very, very, very careful not to go outside of what the article is saying, the peer-reviewed article is saying. And of course, I'll be giving you full references and everything for that. So I'm being very careful in this video not to go outside what it's saying. Observable real-time injuries at cellular level in the recipients of the safe and effective COVID-19 injectables are documented here for the first time, hence the fact that we're doing it. I think this paper just came out a few days ago, last week maybe. With the presentation of a comprehensive description and analysis of observed phenomena that need to be explained. The global administration of these often mandated products from late 2020 triggered a plethora of independent research studies. Why weren't they nationally sponsored and industry sponsored research studies? Why is it down to independent scientists? And I have talked to several other independent scientists who've come up with similar findings to this, but I can't talk about those because it's not published in the peer-reviewed literature. We're going to stick to what is in the peer-reviewed literature. Of modified RNA injectable gene therapies. So, of course, they're injecting genetic material, instructing the body to make foreign proteins. They are not injecting the protein directly. Most notably, those manufactured by Pfizer and Moderna in this paper. Analyses reported here consists of precise laboratory bench science aiming to understand why serious debilitating prolonged injuries and many other side of this particular adverse reaction occurred increasingly without any measurable protective effect. The contents of the COVID-19 injectables were examined under a stereoscopic microscope up to 400 times magnification. Carefully preserved specimens were cultured in a range of distinct media to observe immediate and long-term cause and effect relationships between the injectables and living cells under carefully controlled conditions. In other words, I'm not saying these scientists succeeded in doing that, but what they were trying to do is duplicate living conditions in the laboratory bench where they could look at it under these microscopes. They were attempting to duplicate the physiological conditions of the human body. The degree to which they did that, I'm not really able to adjudicate on, but they did their best to do that. And again, this needs to be duplicated around the world and it needs to be explained because, let's look at that. Look at it. What is that? What are these things? An explanation is clearly required here. I would have thought. Let me know what you think.
Okay, so you could hear Dr. John Campbell discuss those nanostructures that they saw under the microscope and that they seem to self-assemble you know, in what was attempted to be, you know, like human cell type conditions. And you can hear in his voice that he found it very disturbing, shocking and disturbing. And then he put a call out for others to go attempt the same, you know, test, the same study, and see what they come up with. Now, it sounds like he knows other scientists, doctors that have done this on their own, but they haven't put together a peer-reviewed paper yet, something that can be seen for others to attempt to duplicate. So we have a lot of anecdotal evidence out there of other people seeing very similar structures in their microscopes and other tests that they're performing, right? So for those scientists that are doing that, they know what they see. And that's why they get out on the alternative media and try to let everybody know what they're finding. So I just wanted you to hear that from Dr. John Campbell, who I would say he's been a pretty fair, unbiased voice out there that wanted to put out the truth. And he is kind of, what I said, kind of came into it late, or I found him late anyway, I think early 2022. But at that point, I had already, you know, had been following a lot of other people that were at the cutting edge at the front of this, that tip of the spear with the information on all these strange phenomenon. But I find this very rewarding now that we're finally getting to solving this puzzle. Now, I want you to also listen to this Greg Reese report. He puts out some really good information, and this is pertaining to nanotech as well.
Recently published research from Korea and Japan confirm previous reports we've heard of nanotech in the COVID-19 injectables. Contents of the COVID-19 injectables produced by Pfizer and Moderna were examined under a stereo microscope at 400 times magnification. Specimens were cultured in different media to observe the effect they had on living cells. The study concluded that the anomalous injuries that have occurred worldwide since the injectables were pressed upon billions of individuals were caused by the nanotechnology contents of the COVID-19 injectables. The research found cellular toxicity, and over the course of a few weeks, simple one-dimensional structures grew into complex three-dimensional structures. Numerous artificial self-assembling nano-sized objects of many different shapes, including animated worm-like entities, discs, chains, spirals, tubes, and right angle structures containing other artificial structures within them. Some structures even seemed to appear and then disappear over time. All of this was found to be well beyond any expected and acceptable levels of contamination. This was first reported on nearly 3 years ago by Ricardo Delgado and La Quinta Columna out of Spain, who found a relationship between the nanotech and 5G. The Fifth Column recently published their findings and conclusions on the strange self-assembling nanotech they discovered in the Pfizer mRNA vaccines via optical microscopy analysis. The objects they found in the vaccine correspond with known items in the scientific record, and the conclusion they come to seems quite clear, that the well-documented scientific goal to use nanotechnology in living human beings to form networks capable of controlling several nanomachines is currently being deployed in the COVID-19 vaccines, which amounts to the most intrusive assault against humanity in all of recorded history. 5G towers were fired up for the first time in Wuhan, the same time they were reportedly experiencing a COVID-19 outbreak. David Icke said there was a relationship between COVID-19 and 5G back in 2020, and it got him banned. Using dark field microscopy, Dr. Anna Maria Mielchia has found these same artificial nanostructures in the blood of both those who got the COVID-19 injectables and those who did not. Decades ago, Silicon Valley guru Ray Kurzweil said that by 2045, most of human civilization will be non-biological machines, thanks to the advancements of nanorobots, which could cure aging and death. While talk of mRNA is making it easily into the mainstream, the nanotech is being ignored. According to the work at La Quinta Columna, there is no mRNA spike protein. According to their research, it's all about the nanotech.
There, that was an excellent report by Greg Rees. I highly recommend his materials and his little short video clips. He does a really good job of compacting a lot of information into like a 3 to 4 minute video. So that was a job well done. I highly recommend going to his website or his links. And speaking of links, we will have all the references that I used in this podcast listed below on our website with this story or this podcast, this whistleblower report. All the links will be there so you can go do a more in-depth study on your own if you'd like to do that. And again, I highly recommend everybody go do their own research for these things. So hopefully this has been enlightening, kind of tying these different, these nanotechnology stories together, kind of putting them together, why it matters, what we need to do about it. I am personally finding people more open to the fact that they were either poisoned or they were marked in some way. I mean, it's not everybody, but on the ground level, a lot of people know that this so-called vaccine, COVID vaccine, gene therapy product was not right, and it didn't help, and it's made people more sick. People recognize that the general American population is way more sick and unhealthy, and there has been anecdotally a lot more deaths. Now we need to get to the center of the actual death numbers, the excess mortality. And that's something we need to do, is pick apart our CDCs or our states and FOIA them, or whatever process you got that's a Freedom of Information request. You need to push that in your states to get the excess mortality numbers so we can actually, you know, put these people to justice down the road. All right, we thank you. Hopefully that you found this a helpful program. I want to put a thanks out there to our donors. Go ahead, sign up to give our donations, as your donations help the nation's finest, you know, fight for our rights. And that was the military, fought against all those coercive mandates, COVID mandates. And then you can go to www.truthforhealth.org. That's truth, F-O-R, health.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. Sign up for our email alerts. Check out all our resources that we provide, from medical advice to ministry help and constitutional right information. We also, you know, we produce news. We have the supplement store, high-end supplements made under good manufacturing procedures, which are, you know, that's the highest level of quality-controlled supplements. So go check that out. And we just hope that you find our podcast, our treatment guides, and all these things extremely helpful. So we thank you. This is Major Mike Gary signing off.
Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. We urge you to sign up for our email alerts, donate to support our legal defense work to secure the human and civil rights secured by law, and to live our lives in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and God's truth. We are here to bring you hope and solutions for such a time as this, with all that is assaulting our way of life. Join us and stand strong against the lies and deception, and speak out. Get loud, get involved. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.